كتاب السنة أو الإمام البغدادي رحمه الله and last time we had point number 98, the first point in volume 2 of the two volumes. Just to mention some of the points that came in the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, then we had the point that the scholars, obviously in the earlier point, Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he mentioned the generations that came after the best generation and how the affairs deteriorated until he mentioned the affair of the Jahmiyyah. So in the point that we had last time, he said the ulama, the scholars, have continued refuting the saying of the Jahmiyyah. But since their saying first appeared, the scholars have continued refuting this innovation of the Jahmiyyah. So Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he made clear that the Jahmiyyah, they are the followers of Jahm ibn Safwan, this innovator Jahm ibn Safwan. And he was an individual who held various innovative beliefs, amongst them that the Quran is created, and amongst them he denied the names and attributes of Allah the Most High. And amongst these evil beliefs was al-irja, that actions are not part of Iman. So as Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this sect of the Jahmiyyah is one of the most evil and dangerous sects. And the scholars have therefore refuted them from the early times, such as Imam Ahmad in his book Ar-Rad ala al-Jahmiyyah, and such as Imam al-Darimi in his refutation of al-Marisi, Bishr al-Marisi, and such as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in his book Bayan Talbith al-Jahmiyyah, and many others besides them. And we had the point that in the time of the Khalifa al-Ma'mun, at the end of the 2nd century of Islam, then a great deal of evil occurred, and people spoke about affairs of the religion who should not have been speaking, people who are not befitting for speech, those being the Ruwaybidah, the despicable, lowly people who had no knowledge and no right to be speaking about affairs of the religion. They started to speak, and the Shaykh al-Fawzan said, when this happens, it results in evil. People without knowledge speaking about affairs of knowledge, this can only result in evil. And indeed, that the Ruwaybidah, these despicable, lowly people, riffraff, have no knowledge, them speaking is one of the signs of the hour. They're speaking about affairs of the religion, and they're speaking about major affairs affecting the whole ummah, affecting the whole nation, affecting the people in general, public affairs. Their speaking is one of the signs of the hour. And then, not content with that, they spoke also against the narrations, and they applied false analogies. In matters of religion, they didn't have knowledge, so therefore they had to speak on the basis of something, so they spoke on the basis of false analogy. And Shaykh al-Fawzan said, for example, making analogy between the creator and the creation, the falsest of false analogies. And also making analogy between two things that have no underlying connecting factor between them. So the result was that the ignorant and heedless people followed them, followed these people who spoke upon ignorance, and followed their misguidance. And that has continued to happen. So therefore, these people were able to undermine this nation and create deficiencies within it, and to even propagate sayings of disbelief through this approach, through people speaking out upon ignorance, without knowledge. They are able to undermine the ummah, create deficiencies within it, and even propagate sayings which amounted to disbelief, and propagate and spread them. through this means, through ignorant people entering into the affairs of knowledge and speaking. And, as the Sheikh mentioned, they spoke, these people spoke, what enabled them to speak was their lack of piety, having very little of a paucity or lack of piety. So therefore they felt nothing to stop them from speaking, so they spoke. And so people, the ignorant, the heedless and the like, were misguided, became misguided and followed these people. And the only ones who remained upon correctness were those who knew and acknowledged the fact that was the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were upon the true Islam. So therefore they followed them with regard to their religion, followed their narration that came from them, and followed them with regard to their religion, and so therefore remained upon correctness. Then Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah, he follows that with a point that's numbered here as point number 99 on page 14. وَمَنْ قَالَ لَفْظِي بِالْقُرْآنِ مَخْلُوقٌ فَهُوَ جَهْمِي وَمَنْ سَكَتَ فَلَمْ يَقُلْ مَخْلُوقٌ أَوْ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٌ فَهُوَ جَهْمِي وَهَكَذَا قَالَ أَحْمَدُ بْنُ حَنْبَلٍ وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدِي فَسَيَرَى اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا فَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فإنها ضلالة فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين وعبدوا عليها بالنواجذ. The saying of Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah, know that whoever says my recital of the Quran is created, then he is a Jahmi. And whoever remains silent and will neither say it is created nor it is not created, then he is a Jahmi. This was the saying of Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever amongst you lives long will see great controversy. So beware of newly introduced affairs, for they are misguidance. And adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided orthodox caliphs, khulafa. Bite upon it with your molar teeth. Sheikh al-Fawzan, he said in explanation, obviously the last part of the text here is taken from the hadith that's come a number of times, whoever lives long amongst you will see great difference, and the rest of the point taken from the hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah radiallahu anhu, reported by Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawud, At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, declared authentic by Shaykh al-Albani. The famous hadith has come a number of times. As for the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafizahullah, and he said, Allah affirmed speech, al-kalam, for himself in many ayahs. From them is his saying, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَنْ تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي. Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th surah, ayah 109, with the explanation, say, if the water of the ocean were ink to write down the words of my Lord, then the ocean would be exhausted before the words of my Lord were finished. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, the words of Allah with which he commands and forbids and manages the creation with. Who can then enumerate the words of Allah? He the Perfect and Most High. They could not be written down by the oceans nor by all of the pens. And he said, and the speech of Allah, the Kalam, the speech of Allah is, as is said by the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Qadimun Naw, Hadithul Ahad. The speech of Allah the Most High is, as the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah say, with respect to its type, eternal. With respect to its individual instances, it newly comes about. And just to mention some clarification on that, it's not terribly easy to translate. Then the Qadimun Naw means that Allah the Most High has always had the attribute of speech, always been able to speak, always had the attribute of speech. So that's the meaning of Qadimun Naw. It's always had the attribute. Always. That attribute has eternally been with him, that attribute. We don't say that Allah the Most High gained that attribute at some time. He didn't have the attribute and then he gained the attribute. No. He's always had the attribute. However, with regard to individual instances, for example, Allah the Most High speaking to Adam, or Allah the Most High speaking to Musa alayhi salam, or Allah the Most High speaking to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or speaking to Jibreel with the Quran, and these individual instances of the speech of Allah, they newly occur. So that's what Shaykh meant. So he said the speech of Allah, as is said by the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is, with respect to its type, eternal. And with respect to its individual instances, it newly comes about. So the Quran is from the newly occurring instances of the speech of Allah. And from the individual instances of the speech of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So the speech of Allah is confirmed by the book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is no doubt that sound intellect affirm speech for Allah, because it is sifatu kamal, it is an attribute of perfection, and negation of it is an attribute of deficiency. In having attribute of speech, being able to speak, is an attribute of perfection, completion and perfection. And being unable to speak, not having the attribute of being able to speak, being unable to speak is an attribute of deficiency. The Shaykh said, however, the Jahmiyya, and they are the followers of Jahm ibn Safwan, Al-Jahm ibn Safwan, who was a foul person, who appeared amongst the people and tried to cause them to doubt about the religion of Allah. And he commanded them with apostasy and disbelief. And from that is that he tried to cause them to doubt about the fact that Allah speaks. And he said, the speech of Allah which is present is something created, makhluk. He created it in the preserved tablet, or he created it in Jibreel, or he created it in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is therefore just an ascription of a created thing to its creator. For example, just like saying Baytullah, the house of Allah, or Naqatullah, the she-camel of Allah. That's the end of what he's quoting from Jahm. From the speech of Jahm is the Quran that we have with us, the speech of Allah that we have, the speech of Allah is just something created. Allah either created it in the preserved tablet, or he created it in Jibreel, or he created it in Muhammad And then he explained, why is it therefore called the speech of Allah? I said, it's ascribing a created thing to the creator of that thing. I mean, speech created by Allah. That's what the speech of Allah means with Jahan. He said, just the same as saying Baytullah, the house of Allah. I mean, the house created as a house created by Allah and given honour by Allah. And likewise, the she-camel of Allah, a created thing, a she-camel that Allah has honoured. Jahan is saying the same thing with regard to the Qur'an. When we say the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, same thing. A created thing being ascribed to its creator. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is what he said, may Allah disfigure him. He said, Allah does not speak, and the ascription of speech to him is just an ascription of a created thing to its creator. This is from his madhab, his position. And he also had the position of al-jabr with regard to qadr, with regard to pre-decree. Jahan have a position of jabr, that people are compelled to do their deeds, no free will, compelled. And he had a position with regard to negating, denying the names and attributes. And he also had a position with regard to denying the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and denying the Quran also. So he was a filthy apostate who appeared with the light of this falsehood. And this madhab, I mean this way of Jahan, this madhab was derived from the Jews, as was mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah in the introduction to Al-Hamawiyyah. And Al-Jahan, he was not the one who began this madhab. Before him there was Al-Ja'ad Ibn Dirham. He is the one who initiated this repulsive saying, and he took it from Talut, the Jew, and Talut took it from Labid ibn al-Aslam, the Jew who did sorcery upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this saying is derived from the Jews, those who distort the speech of Allah away from its correct meanings. So this foul madhab should not be considered something inexplicable when its source is known, that it is from the Jews. They infiltrated it amongst the Muslims by means of this foul man, Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham, the one who was killed by Khalid al-Qasri on the day of Eid al-Adha. As Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, and he quotes three famous lines from the Nuniyya of Ibn al-Qayyim, his poem on Aqidah, each line ending in Noon. Concerning this event, that this man Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham, that he was killed by Khalid al-Qasri. So therefore Ibn al-Qayyim said, وَلِأَجْلِ ذَا ضَحَّى بِجَعْدٍ خَالِدُ الْقَصْرِيُّ يَوْمَ ذَبَائِحِ الْقُرْبَانِ إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَيْسَ خَلِيلَهُ كَلَّا وَلَا مُوسَى الْكَلِيمُ الدَّانِي شَكْرَ الضَّحِيَّةَ كُلُّ صَاحِبِ سُنَّةٍ لِلَّهِ دَرُّكَ مِنْ أَخِي قُرْبَانِ. This can be very roughly translated as, and on account of that, Khalid al-Qasri slaughtered Ja'ad on the day of the sacrifice, since he said that Ibrahim was not Allah's chosen beloved one. No, and nor was Musa one whom he spoke to and drew close. So every person of Sunnah gives thanks for that sacrifice. What an excellent thing Allah has brought about through the sacrifice of this brother. And in explanation, they mention that this happened around the year 118 after the Hijrah in Kufa. Khalid al-Qasri, who was the governor in Iraq at that time, he slaughtered this evil person, Al-Ja'd ibn Dirham. Sheikh Fawzan said he took this, or rather this saying was taken from him by Al-Jahm ibn Safwan, and it became ascribed to him because he is the one who propagated it, but he is not the one who initiated it. Meaning this saying, which is famous as the position of the Jahmiya, is ascribed to Jahm because he is the one who spread this saying far and wide. But it actually came from his teacher, Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham. Just before continuing, a side point that some of the people of knowledge mention is that this saying that we heard was taken from by Jahm from Al-Ja'ad, and he took it from Talut, and he took it from Labid. And this Labid ibn al-A'sam, he was a Jew, as we heard, who did sorcery from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this saying was taken from him by Talut, the Jew. And from him, his student, Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham, he took this saying of the Jahmiyyah. And from Al-Ja'ad, it was taken by his student, Al-Jahm ibn Safwan. And each was executed. We saw Al-Ja'ad was executed here. And likewise, Al-Jahm ibn Safwan, he was killed as well. Student. But before that, each time before the person was executed or killed, he had a famous student who took the saying from him. So Al-Jahm ibn Safwan, this saying was taken from him by Bishr al-Marisi. And then Bishr al-Marisi, he taught this to Ahmad ibn Abi Duad, the one who was at the head of those who tortured Imam Ahmad. And just briefly with regard to the event, again before we move on inshallah, before this event that Khalid al-Qasri, he slaughtered Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham on the day of sacrifices, he gave a khutbah on the minbar, or he gave a khutbah to the people at the Eid, and he said, may Allah accept your sacrifices, for indeed I am going to sacrifice Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham. And he came down and he slaughtered Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham. Then Sheikh al-Albani said, with regard to this report, there's some speech from the scholars, is it established or not? It's reported by a number of the scholars in their books, such as Ad-Darimi in Ar-Radd al-Jahmiyyah, and Al-Bukhari in his book Khalq Af'al al-Ibad, and other books as well. So Sheikh al-Albani in Mukhtasar al-Ulu, Al-Dhahabi's book al-Ulu, the abridgment of it, Sheikh al-Albani comments, and he mentions that the first chain of narration for this, that there's weakness in it, there are unknown people in the chain. But then he said, however, the narration that comes after it, there's another narration with a different chain, is better than it, and perhaps therefore that is why the scholars state that this story definitely happened. I mean, there's more than one chain of narration for it. Back to what Sheikh al-Fawzan said, Hafizullah, he said, having mentioned the lines of poetry from the Nuniyah, then he said, as we heard, this saying was taken from him, from Ja'ad, by Al-Jahm ibn Safwan, and it was ascribed to him because he was the one who propagated it, but he was not the one who initiated it. Then Sheikh al-Fawzan said, and the people of the Sunnah rebuked and criticized them severely in Jahmiyyah, and they spoke sternly in that regard. And this will follow, insha'Allah, in the part that comes after. However, with us now, we have a part of this foul madhab, which is negation of speech for Allah. Denial that Allah speaks. Then the Shaykh made the point, however, a problem arose with the people of the Sunnah, which is, should it be said, I mean, having dealt with that position there, that the saying of Jahmiyyah, that Allah does not speak, and the scholars sternly refuted that saying, Indeed, we affirm that Allah's speech and the Quran is His speech. That was refuted, refuted clearly. Then he said, however, a problem arose with the people of the Sunnah. Should it be said that my recital of the Quran, I mean a person, should he say my recital of the Quran, because this is an issue they brought up. So then what is the response to it? So he said, should it be said, my recital of the Quran is created, or is not created? The Shaykh said, this is something which they introduced also amongst the Muslims. And when they failed with the first thing, then they tried this second approach here now. Brought up this thing. What about a person when he recites the Quran? What's that recital? Is it created or not then? His recital. The Shaykh said, they introduced this amongst the Muslims also. So should you say, my recital of the Quran is created? Or should you say, my recital of the Quran is not created? Or should you tatawakkaf, should you withhold? And say, if what is meant, if what you mean, is what is recited, that which is recited, then it is the speech of Allah. It is not created. And if what is meant is the person's own particular recital of the Quran, then his own recital is a created thing, and his voice is created. His own style of recital and his own particular voice is something created. So therefore it must be mentioned with detail. Answer must be given then with detail. And this is the detail which was stated by Imam Ahmad and al-Bukhari and a group of the verifiers. The Shaykh is making an important point here. He's not the scholars were upon this one thing here, mentioning with detail. He said, so do not say my recital of the Quran is created unrestrictedly, and do not say it's not created unrestrictedly, and do not withhold. Don't say, I'm not going to say this, I'm not going to say that. Rather, mention the answer with detail. In other words, the answer again, just repeat it what the Shaykh gave, that the answer should be given. If the question is written, the question was introduced amongst the people, so therefore it required an answer. So the correct answer is to mention detail. And it is that a person, if somebody says, your recitation of the Quran, created or not, then, as the Shaykh said, it should be stated with detail that if what you mean is what I'm reciting, then that is the speech of Allah. That is not created. Or if what you mean with what is meant is the person's own particular recitation, his own particular voice, then that is created. That is the detail. Before moving on to the next part, then with regard to the explanation of Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, then he said, after mentioning a number of evidences from the Quran affirming that the Quran is indeed the speech of Allah, not created, he then said, and whoever, and he mentioned that indeed the speech of Allah, the Quran is from the speech of Allah, and the speech of Allah is an attribute of His. Then he said, and whoever says that anything from the attributes of Allah is a created thing, then he is a kafir, he is a disbeliever. This is what the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah have affirmed. And Al-Lalika'i, what he's referring to here is Imam Al-Lalika'i in his book Sharh Fusul I'tiqad Ahlul Sunnah, famous book of Aqidah. He said, Al-Lalika'i mentioned from 550 scholars from the Salaf that they said, whoever says that the Quran is a created thing, then he is a kafir, he is a disbeliever. And whoever says that his recitation of the Quran is something created, then he is an innovator, a jahmi, he is astray. and likewise one who remains silent and doesn't say whether it's created or not created. He is also a jahm, astray. Sheikh said, so what Allah has informed is very clear, that the Quran is the speech of Allah. And whoever will not say that, then he has belied Allah in what he has informed of. As for the next point, point number 100, then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, وَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ إِنَّمَا جَاءَ هَلَاكُ الْجَهْمِيَّةِ أَنَّهُمْ فَكَّرُوا فِي الرَّبِّ عَزَّ وَجَلَ فَأَدْخَلُوا لِمَا وَكَيْفَ وَتَرَكُوا الْأَثَرِ ووضعوا القياس وقاسوا الدين على رأيهم فجاءوا بالكفر إيانا لا يخفى فكفروا وكفروا الخلق واضطرهم الأمر إلى أن قالوا بالتعطيل. He said, and know that the ruin of the Jahmiyyah was that they pondered about the Lord, the Mighty and Majestic. And they introduced why and how, and they abandoned the narrations, and they applied analogy. They weighed the religion according to their own opinions. So they came with disbelief openly. It was not hidden. They disbelieved, and they declared the rest of the people to be disbelievers. And the affair led them necessarily to stating ta'til, negation, outright negation. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said, he's saying, وَأَلَمْ أَنَّهُ إِنَّمَا جَاءَ هَلَاكُ الْجَهْمِيَّةِ أَنَّهُمْ فَكَّرُوا فِي الرَّبِّ عَزَّ وَجَلَ. And know that the ruin of the Jahmiyyah came about because they pondered about the Lord, the Mighty and Majestic. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the reason which caused the Jahmiyyah to become misguided to this extent of misguidance, this great extent of misguidance, is that they entered into the affair of the Lord. They began searching into it. So it is not permissible for the Muslim to search into the matter of the Lord. Rather, what is upon him is to have Iman in him and in his name and in his attributes, and not to enter into the kayfiyyah, into how. Allah the Majestic and Most High, no one knows about his birth, no one knows about himself and about how his names and attributes are, except for him. He the perfect. He the Most High said, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. Surah Taha, the 20th Surah, Ayah 110, with the explanation. Allah knows whatever is before them and whatever is behind them, and they do not encompass him with knowledge. Shahbazan said, so no one can encompass Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. He is the one who knows best about himself and about other than himself. So therefore, we do not speak about the affair of Allah, except for that about which there is a proof from the book, from the Quran and the Sunnah. And we withhold from whatever does not occur, whatever is not reported. The Jahmiyyah denied the Quran and the Sunnah, and they entered with their intellect into the affair of Allah the Perfect and Most High, to the extent that they said that he, referring to Allah the Most High, this is what Jahmiyyah said, to the extent they entered with their intellect and said about him, that he is not within the universe, nor is he outside the universe. He is not above, nor is he beneath. He is not to the right, nor is he to the left. Sheikh Al-Azhar said, therefore he would not exist. And upon their definition of their Lord, he would not exist. Not inside the universe, not outside the universe. Not above, not below. Not to the right, not to the left. So the Shaykh said, so therefore he would not exist then. Highly exalted is Allah above what they say. They said, he does not have hearing, he doesn't hear, and he doesn't see, and he doesn't have knowledge, and he doesn't have will. The Shaykh said, therefore he would be an inanimate or non-living thing. Because an inanimate object is that which is described with these characteristics. So he would in that case be like the idols. Highly exalted is Allah above that. I mean, these definitions of the Jahmiyyah that they give for their Lord. The first one they give is a description of that which doesn't exist. And the second is a description of that which is like the idols. That which having no attributes, doesn't hear, doesn't see, doesn't know, have any knowledge, doesn't have any will. They're likening their Lord to the eyes also. Shaykh Fawzan said, he's saying, وَقَاسُ الدِّينَ عَلَىٰ رَأِيهِمْ. They weighed the religion. Or they imagined and made analogy with regard to religion based upon their own opinion. Shaykh Fawzan said, they followed false analogy. They drew analogy between Allah and His creation, and therefore they denied His name and His attributes, because in their view they necessitated resemblance. What the Shaykh is alluding to here is, I mean, the saying of the Jahmiyyah of the early times and later times. They refuse to affirm Allah's attributes because they say the creation have these attributes. We see certain attributes affirmed for Allah the Most High in the Book and Sunnah, but we see the creation having those attributes. So therefore, they deny the attributes. They refuse to affirm these attributes for the Creator. They say because the creation have them. If we affirm them for the Creator as well, it means we resemble, brought about resemblance between the creation and creation. So the solution that they had, that we deny the attributes for the Creator. We negate. So the Shaykh said, they followed false analogy. They drew analogy between Allah and His creation, and therefore they denied His name and His attributes, because in their view, these attributes necessitated resemblance. And they did not know that the names of Allah and His attributes are particular to Him, He the Perfect. And that the names of the created beings and the attributes of the created beings are specific to them. And there is no resemblance between this and that. The Shaykh said, so just as Allah has a self which does not resemble the selves of the creation, then likewise He has names and attributes which do not resemble the names and attributes which the created beings have. Whoever takes hold of this will be at ease, and he will proceed upon the correct way. Then he said, he's saying, فَجَاءُوا بِالْكُفْرِ يَانًا لَا يَخْفَى. So they came with disbelief openly. It was not hidden. Shaykh Fawzan said, they disbelieved in Allah on account of these ugly sayings concerning Allah the Majestic and Most High. And what their sayings resulted in, what these sayings led them to, was negation and denial of the Creator, disbelief in the Creator. He said, his saying, فَكَفَرُوا وَكَفَّرُوا الْخَلْقِ. So they disbelieved, and they declared the rest of the creation to be disbelievers. Sheikh Fawzan said, they declared as disbelievers those people who describe Allah with his names and his attributes, because they say this is, they are mushabbiha, they are ones who claim that Allah resembles his creation, and tashbih, declaring that the creator resembles the creation, is disbelief, kufr. The Shaykh said, so we say no, this is not tashbih, this is not resemblance. In the fact that we affirm for Allah the Most High whatever attributes he has affirmed for himself, or whatever attributes his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has affirmed for him, it doesn't mean we've made the creator resemble the creation. The Shaykh said, no, this is not resemblance. Allah the Majestic and Most High, he the perfect, has said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Surah Shura, the 42nd Surah, Ayah 11, with the explanation, there is nothing like him, there is nothing like Allah, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Shaykh Fawzan said, so he negated from himself tashbih, resemblance, and yet he affirmed for himself hearing and seeing, even though hearing and seeing are present amongst the created beings. So this shows that this does not resemble that. In other words, the fact that we affirm attributes for Allah doesn't mean we've made a resemblance between him and the creation. Not at all. And the Shaykh said, he's saying, وَاضْطَرَّهُمْ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ أَنْ قَالُوا بِالتَّعْصِيرُ. And the affair necessarily led them to stating negation, total negation. Shaykh Fawzan said, at-ta'atil is to deny the Creator, the Perfect and Most High. Because this leads to negation. In what we heard before, they're negating all the attributes of Allah the Most High. Every attribute, they deny it. His name, denial of his name, they deny all his attributes. That necessarily leads to what it led them to deny the Creator himself, to negate his existence. So the Shaykh said, because one who does not hear, and he does not see, and he does not speak, and has no will, and has no wish, and also is not inside the universe, nor is he outside the universe, and is not above, and is not below. Therefore, there would be no God who is worshipped in existence at all. So the affair ended up for them with apostasy and total negation. And if you, side point there, if you read the story of Jahm ibn Safwan, that's exactly what happened to him. They say he debated with some people with regard to his Lord, and he ended up even doubting that they had a Lord. So he abandoned the prayer for a period of 40 days or something. He even abandoned praying. It confused him so much with regard to his Creator. Who are you going to pray to then? So the Shaykh said, there are further affair of Jahm and the Jahmiyyah. That's what it leads to. It leads to this, to ta'til, negation of the Creator altogether, denial of the Creator. والحمد لله صلى الله على محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك